This is a HeadGum Podcast. Hey everybody, it's Emily here to talk to you about Adam and Eve. Spring is in the air, but is it in your step? Is it in your bed? If you're interested in better sex starting now, go to adamandeve.com. They've got toys, lingerie, accessories, everything you need to level up your pleasure checks. And right now, Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, plus free shipping, which includes rush processing. That's discreet shipping, plus 100% free shipping with rush processing on your entire order. Doesn't matter how much you spend or what you buy, all will be packaged and sent discreetly, free and fast. So just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy or anything you desire. Just enter offer code PAWPAW at checkout. That's PAWPAW, P-A-W-P-A-W at adamandeve.com. This is an exclusive offer specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code PAWPAW to get your discount, 100% free shipping, and get it fast with rush processing. Code P-A-W-P-A-W. Goodbye, sweeties.
Dungeon. Welcome to Dungeon Courts. Oh yeah, I am your Supreme Crit Justice, Murphy, joined by Supreme Crit Justices Axford and Tanner and the lowly.
So lowly, you're almost highly. It comes back around.
So low that it comes back up to highly praised bailiff Jake.
Whoa. What a come up.
We love you and we appreciate you.
Whoa. Should we have a really positive Jake episode?
Yeah, let's have a positive Jake episode.
Oh, positive Jake vibes?
Yeah.
Great.
I don't want to see the backlash for this.
He's fucking cool and he's good looking and he's awesome. Let's get into it.
Jake, you're looking great. You got some hair gel in there. The beard is flowing.
This makes me so uncomfortable.
Bailiff, take me to paradise.
Oh my God. Jake, you've been spending so much time amongst the lowly worms that you've become attuned to nature. You're a deity.
Wow. You have decomposed into the perfect soil composition to sprout a beautiful flower.
Like a phoenix, I'm rising from the ashes.
Jake in bloom.
Hear ye, hear ye. Crit is now in session. The Honorable Supreme Crit Justices Axford, Murphy, and Tanner presiding. Our first case comes from, woohoo indeed. Our first case comes from Brady M. And Brady writes, to the great and honorable justices and to the great but certainly not honorable bailiff.
Hey, that's my friend.
That's tough, Brady. I can't believe you would speak.
Brady, come on now. This is my friend Jake. Okay?
We are being so manipulative.
He's a really good guy. He's a great guy and a great friend.
He rose from worms.
How dare you?
King of the worms, Jake Hurwitz. We love him.
I'm so sorry for interrupting you, Jake. Go on.
Thank you, man. This makes me so deeply uncomfortable. It feels like the rug's going to get pulled out from under me.
I think that's why I'm liking it so much. I'm watching you absolutely squinge in your seat.
It's like popular kids in high school being way too nice to you, and you're like, I know you're playing a joke on me.
The fucking shoe's going to drop. I'm waiting for it. As the DM, I'm running an apocalyptic campaign focused on survival.
Wow.
And when we had a session zero, I was very upfront about this.
This is crazy. Can I interrupt? Because
please.
This is just crazy. Literally last night in my dream, I was in an apocalyptic dream. I have those all the time because, I don't know, they're more fun than normal nightmares. And in the dream, I was like, for some reason, I don't know how I was able to think this. I was like, I need to run a survival campaign. It is so fun trying to survive.
Yeah.
It was basically, thinking back on my dream, it was basically Fortnite because we were infiltrating various things to find weapons.
Classic survival situation.
So I was in Fortnite in my dream. I realized
sounds like an awesome dream.
Right. So it was like survival, but also Doctor Strange was there.
Yeah. What I'm trying to say is, Brady, I love that you're running a survival game. And in my dream last night, my subconscious was like, Emily, you must do this. So
yeah.
You're awesome.
Emily's dreams approve of this campaign. So Brady writes, my players keep track of rations, water, and even materials to make healing potions. Our elven fighter uses a bow, and every time I ask them about the amount of ammunition they have, they'd always respond with, I should be good. So I started writing down how many arrows they'd released and not collected. I even warned them that their quiver was feeling lighter. When they finally took their 20th shot, after I started keeping track, I narrated how as they went to pull an arrow out, they reached back and found none left in their quiver. My player was furious, claiming that their character sheet is their responsibility, and I had violated their privacy, and that if my world was my world, then their character should be their character. Justice, I beseech thee, did I breach a boundary I was unaware of, and was I too harsh in my punishment? If so, I'll humbly accept whatever punishment you deem necessary.
I want to throw out one thing, and this is not a ruling at all. I feel like because I've played in campaigns where I tend to play a lot of healers, and as a healer, like the healing resource will be managed. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it feels like you get punished for like gathering your spell components while the ranger just magically has as many arrows as they want. So I don't mind balancing. My first thought is, well, if you're going to make it hard for some classes, then it does make sense to make it hard for all classes.
Also, it sounds like that's what this campaign is.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were warned several times. I feel like essentially what happened is this player wants to be able to cheat, kind of.
Yeah.
Because you should show your work.
Ideally,
you know what I mean?
He'd like to cheat.
You shouldn't just be mad that this happened. The only way you could get mad is by being like, no, dude, I've got it on my paper. I've still got four arrows left or something. Yeah. I've been keeping track of this. I look at this more than you do. That's a fine defense. But to just be like, how dare you?
I think they've got no leg to stand on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From what you've read, I almost feel like this player is not on board with the conceit of this world, because saying I should be good.
Yeah.
I should be good. I can't hear that.
Yeah, no, we're looking all right. We're actually pretty mellow totally. Here.
This has the energy of like somebody getting caught cheating, like in a text message, and then somebody be like, "You violated my privacy by reading my messages."
Yeah,
like,
dude, no, I was totally fletching arrows. I was fletching during that short rest. I can sympathize with this archer because, like,
really.
They're playing the sort of dumbass D&D I like to play, where you just keep it fast and loose and are not paying attention to this sort of thing, and then later on retroactively ask the DM if you can say that you fletched a bunch of arrows during a short rest. But like, I think that it was laid out pretty clearly up top that like that was not the situation. Like, you got to be doing fletch checks. You got to be making sure that the arrows are knocked and ready to go. And they were not doing that.
Do you think that if this character was constantly being like, every time they shot something, the DM would be like, okay, we're moving on to this thing or whatever, and the character is like, well, wait, I'm going to go retrieve my arrows. Let's roll to see how many I can retrieve.
Yeah. I like that.
Would the DM like that?
I think so.
That's like what the DM wants.
I think the DM would like it, because it seems like, when I was thinking of survival in my dream, it was more about constantly running away.
Right, yeah. Doing dances and dropping out
dances
blimps,
and
air,
playing
air buses.
Yeah. As Kakashi Sensei.
Right, uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
Sephiroth is there for some reason.
but it sounds like this DM is like, part of the fun for us is like, let's do some resource management, which I can also get into. So I feel like the DM would have liked it.
Yeah,
yeah,
I think so. I mean, there's different kinds of games. Like in video games, if you look at like Resident Evil, that's about resource management. You don't want to have infinite ammo in Resident Evil or else the game is too easy. But then if you play like Doom or Duke Nukem, you don't want to constantly be, you know, searching for ammo. That's no fun. So it's just
in
a different kind of game.
In Breath of the Wild, you're always picking up your arrows.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like not even that hard to do. You could be like, hey, I'm going to go like pick up my arrows. You're right. It's just like a D10 roll or a D6 or however many arrows you got. It's like, it doesn't take that much.
But it sounds
time.
Like this person wasn't even looking. They didn't even care.
Yeah, they
just
even
kept
looking.
Saying, I
we
think
don't
I'm
think
good.
That they were.
And then also, I don't like this move of bringing it to this very loaded thing of being like, you've invaded my privacy. This is your world,
but I'm in charge of my character. You're in charge of the world.
How many arrows you have isn't quite a, it's not a private
I know.
Thing.
Fucking Aaron Sorkin bullshit is what it is. It's like, sir, you may control the sphere, but I am a lowly island upon that sphere. You have no dominance over my island, sir. It seems like they were trying to like make a big impassioned speech, and I can't get behind
it. It's a weird move in the argument where it's just like, actually, I'm going to say something that in my defense, you're a bad person. You actually, yeah. You know what? Uh-huh. I lied. You're a bad person.
Right.
There's also a feeling of like, I think it's like not, it's just not a synonymous situation, because it is like being a DM is like planning a party, and being at the table is like being a party goer.
Yeah.
So it is kind of like showing up to someone else's party and being like, cool, this might be your party, but it's my night.
Yeah. It's just like that. Yeah, there might be people with a bunch of allergies and shit, but I'm not telling anyone what's in the brownies. I'm not telling fucking anyone.
This is my recipe.
If you have a fucking tree nut allergy and there's nuts in here, you just have to roll the dice.
So does it sound like we're ruling against this player?
Yeah, wow. Starting off with a DM ruling. I love it. Wow. I love this energy.
We've been favoring the players recently.
I think that I'm going to roll with the DM, but I will say, Brady, if you're looking for like anything that you could be doing differently, and this is maybe something you've already done, so it might be a completely moot point, but like, you know, just making sure that you have a communication, like this is this type of campaign with your characters, maybe... It sounds like it's been going well, so I'm guessing your PCs are on board. But if you had an inkling, oh, they might not be on board, it might be worth communicating it. Yeah, but you probably also already have.
It's true. So,
ignore all this, Brady.
The players maybe like it, like this aspect of the campaign when they're succeeding. And it sounds like you might need to be so blunt to the point where instead of being like, your quiver is feeling light, you need to be like, you feel like you've got 3 arrows left.
Oh, that's
you
good.
You feel like maybe you can only fire that bow
you
2
reach
more times.
In and you feel the feathers of 1 arrow.
You reach in and grab the last of your 2 arrows.
Yeah.
Brady, if you're good at keeping track of stuff like that, because like a lot of people are not, that is like a skill that you possess to be able to like, you know, manage that level of inventory while also running a campaign. Like, yeah, I would say just lean into that. Like, use that skill to help your players out a little more. I mean, especially if it's getting dire like this and you don't want them to like fail on a technicality.
Also, it's definitely not a complete given that DMs don't track this stuff. Like, I often don't. But definitely, I know when we play D20, Brennan has like our HP tracked and everything like that.
Wow.
And like, we would definitely have a discussion if there was like a discrepancy. I'm sure that
He also has people like monitoring it for
totally.
Him.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So
you each have an HP boy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a ball boy in tennis. He runs in and takes our hit points and runs away.
Gets down on one
and
knee.
I yell at him like John McEnroe. Yeah.
You broke a tennis racket on one session, right?
Yeah, we also all have tennis rackets under the...
Yeah.
Old wooden tennis rackets. Emily broke one over her knee.
We freak out and break our character sheets over our knee. It's really laborious.
Okay, wait. I have a good punishment for the player. Okay.
Oh,
they have to dress like a ball boy, but then work at a baseball game.
What?
So they keep trying to run onto the field and...
So just be a ball boy.
Right. But they're in the wrong sport. So
wait,
then they're like getting tackled by outfielders and stuff like that.
There are ball boys in baseball.
I think they're technically called bat boys.
Bat. Okay.
But they don't
collect. You're saying you have to wear a tennis outfit.
Great.
Yeah.
And you have to...
What about this? Don't you understand?
Yeah. And then when you get on the field and people say, are you a bat boy? You have to say, no, I'm a ball boy.
And you have to chase loose balls in the outfield, right?
That's what I'm saying is you're chasing the baseball and you're fighting off baseball players.
Baseball players. But you don't belong there because you're a tennis ball boy, not a baseball.
And you have to do that thing
boy.
Where you get, when you get the ball, you hold it behind your back. So it seems kind of like you're trolling everybody.
And you can't try to jump back over the wall. You have to stay in the outfield.
No. And you also can't explain that it was a punishment from a dungeon court episode.
Yeah.
So people won't even know why you're doing it.
And you just have to keep insisting, I'm just a huge fan of tennis and I always wanted to be a ball boy.
That's going to be really fun because for all of the people in the stands, it's going to be like a game because there are going to be officials chasing you trying to get you out of there. So it's going to be like, the ball boy's on the field again.
Yeah. I really think that this would make baseball even more fun.
Yeah, I think there should be more rogue boys.
They have stopped. They've stopped showing people on camera when they jump on the field.
Okay, so you won't even be getting any.
So you're not even
going to
get
this.
Any credit.
This punishment
for this,
is a private.
But
one.
You're going to get a lot of love at the stadium.
It's
the
just
stadium,
for you. Yeah,
get some love.
Yeah, anyone who's there is definitely going to be like, anyone else kind of loving this ball boy? This tennis ball.
Yeah, honestly, this is a punishment, but a little bit. It's a little bit of a prize, frankly.
Yeah, we're all a little jealous that you get to be the ball boy.
Okay, so ordered.
Unless someone else had a punishment.
No, I feel like that was too elaborate to get rid of.
Yeah, we can't unwind this.
Okay, because we could also just do like stocks.
What?
In public square.
A day in the stocks.
I thought you meant
a
like
day in the stocks.
Invest in some bad stocks.
How about a day at the stock market?
You gotta invest in NFTs right now.
Oh God.
You have to go become an NFT by getting a picture of yourself as the ball boy at a baseball game.
All right. Okay. They've got a lot to handle in the next couple of days. Our next case comes from Brennan C. They write, "May it please the holy and righteous court, and also I think it was Bailiff John."
Whoa! No. That's Jake Hurwitz.
Wow.
That's Jake Hurwitz. He's a hilarious comedian, writer, insane. Director, actor.
That is being floated. Please.
Jake and Amir.
Look at his skin.
A groundbreaking series.
Look at his glistening skin.
This is a groundbreaking series in online comedy. One of the first.
And
web
I don't
series.
Normally go for very straight teeth, but you have a nice set of straight teeth.
I really don't. Okay.
Yeah. For someone with the elbows that you have, you really work those elbows well.
Thank you. What do you mean work the elbows?
Just like for like the elbows you're working with for like your whole elbow situation, you really hold them well.
It feels like that's a backhand.
I don't know that Caldwell got the assignment, but go on, Jake.
I present the case of the obliterated backstory. I created a character that was a medieval microbiologist druid who was trying to prove that bacteria existed.
Okay.
Whoa.
When I first introduced the character and brought up the fact that I was trying to prove to the world that microorganisms exist, my party members loudly proclaimed their knowledge about bacteria that pretty much everyone living in the fantasy world also knew about it. My DM had already told them my backstory before we played, so they knew I was on the hunt for shit particle-related science. I ask you, O merciful counsel, was I robbed of my backstory, or should I stop presuming the level of scientific knowledge possessed by my party?
Okay, first off, you ran your backstory by the DM. The DM decides what is common knowledge.
Yeah.
So the party can't really say, oh, actually everyone in this world knows about that, because the DM already said... No, this is a fun backstory.
Interesting.
Well, I'm wondering, does everyone else in this world know that bacteria exist, or is it just like the party members trying to like reaffirm your mission by being like, yeah, we believe you. We believe you about the little guys.
If it was that, they wouldn't have wrote into our show. Yeah.
That's probably
true. They're being good friends. What should I do about this, Jake?
Yeah, I feel like it was done with malintent.
Yeah, it was done with malice.
I thought in the question they said, no, everyone knows about bacteria. Everyone in the world knows about bacteria.
Oh, that's so cruel.
Yeah, they brought up their character's like mission, and then all of their party was like, oh, we already know about bacteria. Yeah. It seems like you kind of got trolled a little bit.
Right, so it sounds like you got jerks, trolled. Yeah. So I think my initial reaction is that you're probably right, and these people are probably being bullies, but let's take a moment and try to defend the bullies.
Oh, okay. I like that.
I think that's always important.
But let's just try to.
This should be a segment that we do in the future.
Defend the bullies.
Welcome to the bully pulpit with Murph.
The bullpit.
Hey.
Jump into the bullpit.
I'm trying to see the party side here, because it does seem like they kind of threw you under the bus, but let's entertain this. Let's play devil's advocate for a moment. It is a little bit of a frustrating thing in storytelling when something the audience already knows is true is being like explored. You know what I mean?
I was going to say that it's a bit of a curveball to get thrown, right? When like to be like, you don't know this exists. And then you're like, suddenly I have to improvise that, which it could be really fun, but it's a little bit intellectual. So it might not be the most instinctually easy thing to fuck around with.
But I mean, I guess like bacteria doesn't come up that much. I don't discuss it that much with my pals.
I don't think I know shit about bacteria myself. Yeah, I could certainly role play.
Yeah.
It would be really fun though to think that germs were like little animals or sprites or something like that. And this person is trying to be like, oh no, they're actually this, you know?
Yeah.
I almost feel like it's better the other way, where you were trying to prove the existence of like fantastical little microorganisms. That seems like better for D&D, maybe. I don't know. This is like such a very specific backstory. I feel like it's a very good starting point, maybe, but like it does feel like a bit limiting, especially for a fantasy campaign. Maybe I'm being critical. I don't know.
I mean, you're a judge. You're judging them.
That's true. It is my role in my job.
This person was kind of just being like a little dweeb, right? Because they're doing like science shit.
Holy. I hadn't considered that. Jake brings up a good point.
I actually love it. Okay. So I guess this little dweeb loves it. But I can understand how... because suddenly, as a player, you're like, okay, what are all the things... It's hard. You almost have to do a mental list of what are all the things that I... would joke about, what are all the things that I know to exist that are based off of the knowledge of bacteria, you know, or like of microorganisms essentially. And that might suddenly, it might just be too much of a curveball.
I will say, coming down from the bully pulpit for just a second, rising out of the bullpit.
Nerd!
Oh! Where did you get that egg?
I had it in my pocket.
Take that Poindexter.
That's so cool. No wonder you're on the varsity team. I just feel like if you tell this to your fellow players and insist that it's like important to you and your backstory, and then they just like kind of like undermine it instantly, that seems a little rough.
My reaction in that moment would just, as another player, would be like, what are you talking about? Tell me more about this. I've never heard of this. Okay. You know, like, it's like a simple way.
Yeah. To defend the bullies once again.
Yeah. I'm actually coming around. I think I'm coming around to bully side.
You are kind of setting it up so that your character is smart and everyone else is a dumbass. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, you're going into the game with real world knowledge and being like, only I know this and I'm going to prove it. And you know for a fact that you're right. Like, this knowledge already exists. It's just the people in your fantasy world don't know it. But the other players, you expect them to also play dumb.
Right.
And they're just sitting there being like, no, I'm not going to pretend that I don't know to wash my hands, bud. Let's kill a dragon.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I think that might have been what happened.
You go into a campaign and the DM is like, all right, there's a monster that's terrorizing this town. You guys can go rescue the townsfolk. And somebody's like, well, and then we'll teach them a lesson about organisms. Like, you're commandeering the story.
And then we'll install a public waterway.
Yeah.
I definitely think that would not be as fun. However, for party composition, I do like having like a little more scientist kind of out of their element amidst them defeating a dragon, because that can be very fun. But I can understand that the other characters being like, we don't want to teach people about washing hands.
I guess I don't know how much dysentery comes up in this campaign, but like, if it comes up a lot, then like, it's probably very helpful to have a microbiologist on your team.
See, I think as this is written, it kind of reads like the other players were being assholes. But I wonder, I wonder if there was like a level of like making the story so much about your microorganisms that you're like, you know what? We're going to just do standard D&D and not make this a science campaign. This
I'm not really going to talk about washing my hands. But
Yeah. I think only you can answer the question of if you feel like you went a little too hard on the microorganism.
Yeah. I think I'm ultimately going to rule with you, because I definitely think this sounds like a fun backstory, but I can understand that it could have come in a little too heavy for people who are like, I wanted to play a fighter and swing my sword at bad guys.
And now we're collecting beakers.
I'm going to fully lean into the devil's advocate and side with the devils.
Whoa.
I think that going in with
with the devil
with a backstory of something you know to be true in the real world and setting kind of everyone else up to be a dumbass is kind of a strange move. And I feel like you can do something like this that actually involves fantasy stuff. Like, you could be like, I'm going to, like in campaign two, Zerk's trying to create like the all cure elixir or something like that. It can be something that's a little bit more fanciful. It could be something more grounded. But I don't know. I feel like it could be in fantasy.
Maybe for the other players, it was like a little too real world, because we've been talking about that stuff a lot in society. Yeah. So it could have been people being like,
Please, like, let's not talk about germs.
Tap. I just want to escape. Out.
Yeah. God. We all got germs on the brain for sure. Wait. So, do we think that the DM deserves any of the blame here for kind of this like weird lopsided party composition?
That was what I was. I mean,
it's. I feel like it's not totally fair.
We don't know if it's lopsided because we don't know the stories of the other characters.
Yeah,
right?
That's like, true.
This is one that it's really, really hard to weigh in on because we don't know.
I agree. I like. Do think that if the DM greenlit this backstory, that they could be like, this isn't really known in the world, so you guys probably wouldn't know it. But again, it's also just a weird thing to be like, no. Hard One does not know to wash his hands. He's a fucking moron.
Hard One wipes his ass and then eats a burger.
Describe it.
Toilet paper doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Just fucking two lost days while Hard One recovers from Giardia.
I think it's hard because I personally kind of love playing stupid. So if someone's like, hey, guess what? You're a little bit stupid, I would be like, hell yeah.
Well, yeah, it's not even it's not even dumb depending on like the time period that you're playing.
It's freeing. My only defense here is that if the DM was planning a bunch of Ant-Man style micro adventures where they went in and battled a bunch of bacteria dragons.
Definitely. That's a good point. Wait, there's two more paragraphs to this case. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yes.
You're absolutely... This is the plot of Osmosis Jones.
I'm ultimately siding with this person, especially because they ran it with their DM and the DM was into it. So I think you were... I don't know if you were robbed, but...
I'm with the devils.
I'm with the fiends.
The fiends? Oh, wow. Okay.
Devils versus fiends.
Wow, yeah.
Very good.
There's no angels in this story, baby.
Jake, who submitted this one, by the way? Was this the DM submitting or was this the player?
This was the player. This was the player, Brennan.
Whose backstory, everyone was instantly just like, I know what bacteria is.
Okay, well, can we walk away from whether who's right or who's wrong and just laugh at that moment in this person's life? Just like all the anticipation of going to your first session, sitting down there, you get introduced, you say the thesis that you would like to explore with your character, and everyone says no.
Right.
We all already know what bacteria is.
It's just a barbarian wiping blood off of their axe, saying like, I know about biology. I went to high school. What are you talking about? I was in AP.
So M's on the one side, I'm on the other side.
Devils or fiends? Choose your side. Pick your fighter.
We're honoring Bailiff Jake today, so everything's a little topsy-turvy. I think I gotta go with the devils.
Yes.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. Okay, Jake, you're gonna be the tiebreaker. Devils or fiends?
Who is who in this situation?
The devils. The devils are the other players.
No. Don't tell him.
I already did.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
You're our genius bailiff. You can figure it out.
If I didn't know, I would have said fiends. But I think going into session one with a backstory that you're like hell bent on following through is also kind of a mistake. I feel like all my characters, I had backstories and arcs that I thought I would fulfill, and they went different ways and they were better for it.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So looking back, I think you'll be happy.
Yeah.
And thus I rule with the bullies who are mean to you.
Hard One not being a virgin was your microbiology. It's true.
Exactly.
I do hope that these players can all figure this out and find like, a pivot for this backstory, because I think it's a cool idea for you to be like trying something new like this. But yeah, I don't know. I hope that you can reach an accord. That is my greatest wish.
Here's the deal with Dungeon Court is we have to leave room for razzing.
Yeah.
We just have to, because there is a correct answer to each one of these. And the answer is the more polite person is correct.
We are not about
But we can't
answers.
Do that if we can't be correct. Yeah.
Bailiff Hurwitz has all the correct answers in that golden briefcase over there. And we refuse to look at them because we deliberate and we reach the answer we think to be true. And we razz people along the way. Yeah. You're right.
We do need a punishment.
Oh, my God.
Beyond the razz.
Okay.
Germs aren't real anymore.
Oh, maybe your character has to prove that astrology is real now.
Yes. There you go.
That feels like a mission.
That's a mission. Something that's actually
that's a mission.
Yes.
I love that.
Because actually, that would be a really sick campaign where astrology is real. Dear God, let me play in that world.
That's
that
probably
really
more
fun.
Accurate to most fantasy
medieval science.
Yeah, that seems like it's more fun.
You have to prove astrology is real.
Love it. Okay, so ordered.
Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Aura Frames. Are you looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? Well, look no further. Aura Frames are the beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. My mom, my mother-in-law, and my grandmother-in-law all have Auras from me, and they love them. So from grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, and even the friends in your life, every mom loves an Aura frame, named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. Trademark, brother. Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages. They're easy to set up, they are the perfect gift, and they've got unlimited storage, unlimited photos and videos. You can invite as many people as you want to a frame. There are absolutely no hidden fees or subscriptions. How beautiful is that? And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That is Aura, A-U-R-A, Frames.com. Use the code PAWPAW at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Thank you, everybody.
Howdy, Nadpoles. Caldwell here with a very important question. Do you like spending money? I sure do. Every time I give away my money, chances are good I'm going to get something I want in return. It's a pretty sweet deal. But sometimes I find myself paying for things I'm not even using. And when that happens, I end up having less money in my bank to spend on things I do want. Ridiculous, right? Luckily, Rocket Money is here to help. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all the app's features. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That is rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. One more time, that's rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That's it for me. Thanks for listening and happy savings.
Our next case comes from Stephen H. Stephen writes, "May it please the court and titillate the bailiff."
Wow.
Ooh.
You know what? He
now
deserves
that's
it.
Nice. Yeah. You deserve some titillation. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, everybody.
And we should do a titillate verdict at the end of this, if you did get titillated or not.
Yeah.
If you feel comfortable to be public about your titillation.
I'll tell you ahead of time, since I've already read this question, it is titillating. And
okay.
I think it's going to titillate.
We got a
everybody.
Titillated bailiff, ladies yeah. and gentlemen.
I'm absolutely titillated. Stephen writes, "I started recently making Pinterest boards for my long-running D&D game. It's been really helpful to grab from a bin of art if, say, I need a half-elf femme NPC or a tabaxi noble at a moment's notice."
Oh, I love that.
"One of my players has complained to me, quote, 'Hey, your NPCs are all too hot. I have a hard time talking to them when I have a mental image of the art you picked out. I get flustered.' They were referring to this picture." I'm going to put it in the chat for you guys.
Okay, yes, wow.
So we can all get titillated.
Yeah.
You can't. D&D characters
okay,
are
yeah,
all hot.
Okay, yeah, that's a hot picture. Yeah, I think this is... I think that this player, they are having a wonderful, safe chance to learn how to talk to hot people.
I'm sorry. Yeah. We cannot be coddled forever. You have to talk to hot people sometimes.
You have to. It's a skill that you need to learn, actually, to be able to talk
and
to hot
people.
And
you're going to be better for it. This is a great chance for you to build some confidence around smoking hot people.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. You might meet Evangeline Lilly, and she might have glowing contacts in and look exactly like this person. And, like, what are you going to do then?
Yeah.
What are you going to do then?
You going to freak
out? And
you'll
be glad if you are like, oh, I've done this before. I've had a fucking dress rehearsal where I talked to this fucking hot sylvan creature.
You're going to fucking wow Evangeline.
That's what you want. You build your confidence at the D&D table. So then you're out. You're at a party. You're at a bar. You're at a dinner. You're at a gala
For God's sake.
And you're just like, think about that elf necromancer that I talked to. Think about how confident I was.
Think about how I flirted with this fucking hot person that I thought was out of my league, and I fucking found my flirting sea legs with someone that's so hot that normal people can't even live up to it.
Yeah.
D&D characters are way hotter than normal people.
I have a con modifier of +5. What's up with you?
And then Evangeline Lilly says, +5? Are you fucking kidding me? Is that your maxed out stat? Or
no.
Do you have other stats that look like that?
Well, I'm only level 11.
Oh, well, no, she's, oh my God, Jake, you absolutely failed this, but she was impressed with you. She was impressed. Ask what your HP was.
My confidence is so low.
You haven't been talking to hot NPCs enough. It's a problem. Yeah.
Really flustered. So Steven does ask, Supreme Crit, I need your help. Do I stop providing hot art for my NPCs? I yield the remainder of my time.
Wow.
I really can't relate to this because truly, like, getting flustered in front of a hot NPC is so fun. So I cannot relate to this at all. And I feel like you're talking about losing. I think you're talking about losing one of the fun things of the game.
Uh-huh. My friend, it's a JPEG. It is a JPEG image.
It's true. It's definitely fully a cartoon.
It is really hot.
Like she's a hot cartoon. I'll give her that.
She is. She has like a really good, like, you can see her bra under her dress, which is such a hot look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this is like saying, like, you know, if I was playing World of Warcraft and I had to talk to like a hot blood elf that I just like couldn't do it, I would have to quit the game.
Yeah, I mean, look, in Warcraft, all the characters are hot. It would be just walking around the elf city being like, oh, what? I simply can't
take a single mission in Silver Moon City. I will chub too hard.
I'm gonna have to play Final Fantasy 14 or Realms Reborn.
I will just button mash because I don't know how to respond.
Oh, shit. Now I'm playing Final Fantasy and all the rabbit people are super hot.
Fuck! Oh no! Fuck!
Fuck! Every movie I watch is filled with hot people.
I can't function.
It's also so funny because it's like so clear that this is just this person's thing, because it's not like you're making the, they would say like, oh, you're making the NPCs too sexual. No. It's very specifically, please don't show me a hot pic.
Yeah. I can't look at a hot person and perform.
I can't do it.
It's also, it's a role. You can stutter through any speech, and then it's like,
yeah,
all right, yeah, roll a persuasion check. It's like, I said, hi, how are you? Oh,
they'll think
you
it's fun that you're bashful.
There are definitely people who will take your flusteredness as like a charming, cute, attractive.
Also, I just, going back to what we were talking about before, I just really shudder to think what you'd be like talking to an actual hot person if you can't look at this cartoon woman and just keep playing D&D.
Hi. Oh, I'm so glad you could make it. Yeah. There's some snacks over there. That's my friend, Jessica Rabbit. Would you like to meet her? Yeah.
Imagine seeing a hot cartoon and then not being able to talk to your friend.
And not being able to compute. Murph,
I can't fucking talk to you if you're pretending to be a hot woman.
Okay.
Can we put the AC on? I'm overheating.
All right. We tried to defend the bullies last time. Let's try to defend the hornies this time.
Okay. Mm.
Let's say we were all at a bar.
No, These are not the hornies.
These are the bashful.
Enjoy it. Yeah.
These are the bashful. Okay. So we're gonna try to defend the bashful. Let's say we were all out at a bar.
Yeah.
And there was a very, very provocative image of Jessica Rabbit in a framed picture in the middle of the booth.
We need to do something that we would all react to more, because Jessica Rabbit, okay, we won't. So let's say it's a very, very provocative image of J-Lo from Anaconda with Elvira.
Okay, dude. But she's a cartoon.
Oh my God, fuck yes. I wouldn't be able to talk to anyone because I'd be staring at that photo the entire time.
Yeah.
Cartoon J-Lo.
Cartoon J-Lo
from Anaconda.
And the Wilson wink is happening. There's an anaconda eating Owen Wilson behind it. Nothing hotter than that.
Would we just chat about the Wilson wink the whole time?
Not that snake in this bar.
When I jerk off to a JPEG, it's gotta have a story in the background.
Yeah. If I'm jerking off to a JPEG, it better be J-Lo. You know what I mean?
See, this is why... I want every JPEG to be a magic card where there's like a little caption in there and there's like, you know, a crumbling tower in the background. And, you know, ideally a snake eating Owen Wilson.
I do think it would distract from the table talk.
Yeah.
Or would it be like just a fun new thing that we all talk about at the table?
I think so. And also, here's the other thing. D&D is a chance to grow.
Right.
I think that this is your opportunity as a player and as a person to like work on talking to people.
I think that's true. I think that it really is like, I feel like D&D is the most fun when you're getting outside of your comfort zone. And look, other people may have different experiences with how they like to enjoy media, but I like my media to take me outside of my comfort zone. And I think that is going
to
be.
And you should have to talk to hot cartoons.
And yeah. You're going to have to talk to hot
every
people
once in a while, you're going to need to talk to a hot cartoon.
Yeah. In your daily life, you will run into a hot cartoon every once in a while.
And I realized the J-Lo analogy doesn't quite work because adding in a celebrity is loaded and makes it confusing. Like if this person was using celebrities as their NPCs, that would be very distracting.
Yeah. We said that as a joke. Or I mean, I audience, know. We said yeah. that as a joke. Yeah.
Right. Murph, we were only kidding. We're only kidding.
I know. I feel like, and I was talking about the joke. Let's continue. Let's move on.
You know, we're just kidding.
I know. Yeah. Thanks,
I'm talking
guys.
A big game, cool. but yeah. if I was at a bar and I bumped into Interstellar bounty hunter Samus Aran, and she lifted her visor and looked at me with her piercing blue eyes, now, I don't know what I would say to her.
Whoa.
Like, yeah.
But
I don't know
that's
what she
a fun
drink.
Feeling. You got to fall in love with that feeling. You got to fall in love with the feeling of being thrown off and finding your feet again, because that's truly all that life is.
It's like role play. It's like that. Yes, there's a small challenge to overcome. You're going to talk to an attractive person. Let's see if you can right. rise to the occasion. If yeah. we make every single interaction like, oh, this person is milquetoast, vanilla, boring person.
I think we got to continue the DM domination this episode and say that as a DM, you're allowed to make everyone as hot as you want.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with that. That's you know, right. like I think that they have to respect other people's sexual boundaries, but they
yes.
can be hot.
Yeah, I would agree with that fully. Two things are true this episode. Jake is a beautiful bailiff and a wonderful friend.
Thank you.
And the DMs can make everyone as hot as they want.
Agreed.
Great. So we all agree.
There's also no fan art of just regular looking people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's either a huge hulking monster or it's uh-huh. the hottest wizard you've ever seen.
You should start sending just like pictures of the Guess Who board.
Yeah.
This is just Tom. All right. Yeah. Cool.
It's also like how much, like I feel like really when you find someone who's like really interesting looking then, and you're giving that as a visual cue to your players, they're going to, yeah. have more interesting interactions with this person because they're gonna be more interested in them versus if you're just like, all right, here's a picture of the bearded guy from Guess Who.
Alfred?
He's the blacksmith in town. That's boring. What's the point of a visual aid?
I'm actually going to play next campaign as Alfred, I think.
Oh, cool. I'll play as Daddy from Don't Wake Daddy.
And you're just asleep the whole time?
Yeah, Caldwell, you should be the guy from Operation.
Are we all ruling for the DM here that you're allowed to have hot yeah. NPCs?
I think so.
Maybe. And I think it sounds like you're doing something fun using these like little Pinterest boards. I think that you're expanding the game and yeah.
Yeah.
And I think
we got to reward that prep.
I think this player, to further get used to talking to hot cartoon characters, will have to start a blood elf. Walk around Silver Moon City a little bit and then go talk to Lady Sylvanas because she's hot.
Good luck, friend.
Yeah. Ooh. Ooh,
she is a hot zombie lady, let me tell you.
hot.
So many people just don't make it past that.
So ordered. Our next case comes from Roar W. Roar writes, Dear Judge Murphy, Judge Axford, and Judge Tanner, and Jake. And just so you guys know, they didn't
use his full title.
They did not capitalize my name. Everybody else has really good punctuation.
That's messed up.
Right.
It's okay. It's fine.
That's not
Thanks,
okay.
guys. Thanks, guys.
You know what? You're capital J, Jake.
Yeah. Let's start calling him capital J.
No.
CJ.
That's good.
CJ. Take it away, dude.
Capital J. It does sound like you're a DC-based comedian or something like that, but I kind of like it.
Capital Jake. I present to you the case of wrestling versus rolling. I'm currently DMing a game in which one of my players is playing a Goliath ex-pirate who wrestles everything and anything he can. Upon describing a wrestling move, I was confused and the player offered to show it to me. In my hubris, okay. I said if he could pin me with it for 6 seconds, I would let him auto-succeed his role. Needless
Very
to say,
fun. Love this already.
Yeah.
Love it.
Needless to say, I got pinned, my head locked in his legs, and like a vice for 6 seconds. Now the player insists I allow him to do this with every wrestling role.
Oh, you're being bullied.
So judges,
no.
I ask you.
No.
Judges, I ask you, should I learn to wrestle and defend my pride?
You should for fun.
You should. And yeah. I think that it's a really fun thing to have in your back pocket. What you're doing is, I feel like a lot of these stories are like, hey, I gave my kids candy and now it's all they want to eat.
Yeah. And the answer is always just... not all the time. You can't give them candy all the time.
I do love the idea of you like quietly taking jujitsu lessons and like becoming really good all the while just saying no, demurring
every time. You'd have to make sure that they weren't training though, because they're just going to be better than you always, just only a little bit better than you instead of a lot.
There are two things. One is like the question, is what you did wrong? No, not at all. Two, should you start training wrestling moves? Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. This is such a fun thing to pull out of your pocket.
Yeah. And if you don't want to spend all that time, I guess maybe you could just give your friend a little bit of food poisoning.
Oh,
so and then beat him that way.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I'm just throwing out ideas.
Or just make your NPC that they're wrestling super hot and then
I think the last thing you'd want is to wrestle someone with diarrhea.
True.
That's more of a joke on you.
Yeah.
But you would still win.
Yeah. Do you submit? Oh, no.
I submitted. I'm so sorry. I submitted. I surrendered.
I mean, I feel like I want to like punish them into taking jujitsu lessons because this seems fun. But you should not be expected to do that. Yeah, just do it for fun.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think this is we joke a lot about bullying and whatnot, but this is if your player every session is like, I can do it if I could beat you up in real life, then you'd be bullied.
Calm
but
down.
It's also possible that this person is saying it in jest.
I know,
and they're
just
like, let me do it on
camera.
In which case that's fun. In which case it would be fun for you to reward that every once in a while.
I think the answer is to lay down the law and say, no, we did that the one time, but after this, you have to roll. But then secretly take jujitsu lessons. And then at some point, when they ask, you say, sure, let's try it this time, and then get out of it.
Or,
awesome.
Yeah.
You say, sure, let's do it, but I'm going to elect a champion to fight for me. And then, boom, what? Up in the rafters. Who's that? Oh my God. It's Sting. It's Sting at his height.
Holy shit.
It's classic Sting.
The musician?
Yes.
Just kidding.
Sting,
no, Sting's in the background and he's providing the backing track.
Wait, which
probably
Sting?
Pretty strong. He does a lot of yoga. He has sex for a long time.
Tantric fucking wrestling.
He loves tantric sex.
I think that would help.
He'd be in great shape.
Yeah, he wouldn't tap for sure.
Yeah, he's so flexible, I guarantee it.
Yeah, he can last. Wait, was that the punishment or a solution?
No, because I don't think we're punishing this DM.
We're on
the DM side.
Yeah,
technically we're punishing the player. We could just have them eat way too much candy and see that it actually doesn't feel good.
Okay, eat too much candy, get diarrhea, and wrestle Sting. Could be kind of interesting.
A tantric wrestling session while you are sick from too much candy and having diarrhea.
So what you're going to need to do is you're going to need to get Sting to put on the makeup. And then like while the player is eating all that candy, Sting's going to be just underneath the table. You're going to need to get a tablecloth so no one can see Sting under there. And then like at the moment where like this player challenges you, that's when you summon Sting.
Whoa.
Summon Sting.
Or if you just have like a super tall stepbrother or something like that.
Yeah.
Sure, you could just be like, yes, but I've elected to use a proxy and then whistle and you're super tall.
And you have to fight Tom.
Stepbrother.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Tom enters the room.
Or you could theoretically try to set up one of your parents with one of Sting's parents and then Sting would be your stepbrother.
Sting, so we could kind of do both. Sex
really
with one of your parents.
You know, he wants to. It's not a stretch.
It's not that crazy to imagine.
So this is going to be a bit of a long con, but it's going to be
okay,
worth it.
Okay, the punishment is, instead of having to pin you for 6 seconds, this other person has to be able to pin you for the amount of time that Sting has sex for, which is like 12-hour sessions.
So 12 that's incredible. A tantric pin.
It has to be a tantric pin, which isn't, no one's going to want to waste their time doing that.
Yeah.
I throw it out. I was trying to incorporate a Sting, and I failed.
No, I think it worked. I think you've invented a new form of measurement.
Think it's good? Yeah.
Yeah.
In Sting minutes? A Sting minute is...
Sting minute is 2 years.
Yeah. And in that like building in France where they have like the golden ruler that represents a single meter, they're just going to put Sting in there. And they're just
when you see like a friend you haven't seen for a long time, you're like, man, I haven't seen you in a Sting minute.
Or a Sting it.
Yeah, a sting it.
A stinger.
I think a sting it is, it's 12 hours. And so, there's two sting its in a day.
So it would be like if you saw someone for breakfast and then you saw them again for dinner, you might be like, whoa, I haven't seen you in a sting it.
Yeah. But you wouldn't really say whoa because it'd be kind of recent. You'd be like, hey.
Yeah. It is like a word that we've been needing in the English language.
So next time.
Like, for someone you hang out with every 12 hours. How do you greet someone that you saw 12 hours ago?
Next time they try to wrestle you, you shoot them a sly smile and you say, if you can pin me for 6 sting-its.
Yeah.
6 sting-its?
Which is 3 days.
The sun will rise 3 times.
Very dumb.
I think we solved the issue at hand, but we haven't doled out the punishment. We gave correct advice.
We have to punish the player, this Goliath wrestler.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. We're ruling with the DM again, which I like. I like this streak.
Yeah, we are having a really.
Was this an all DM day?
Yeah.
One of them was, I think, was player versus player.
Right.
But I think that one was still DM leaning a little bit.
Yeah.
Interesting. Very interesting.
So yeah,
we let a DM off on that one.
That's true.
That's right. So we are being we're being good to the DMs today.
Right.
Yeah, we're being DM lenient for sure. Gosh, what is the punishment here? I mean, I thought you were onto something with the food poisoning candy.
Oh, I think I was just, I think that it wasn't food poisoning candy. I think it was just candy, which can be too much in itself. But
that's
if
true.
You want to like, if you want to throw a little something on there.
I feel like it should be Sting related.
Murph, right? Murph is right.
Then come up with it, Murph.
Oh my god. Okay, you have to listen to Sting's worst reviewed album.
Whoa.
Great. That's actually really tangible, actionable advice. Uh-huh. So yeah, listen to Sting's worst album.
Can I offer a flip on that?
Sure.
Yeah.
You have to watch Tarzan, but you can't listen to the soundtrack.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
It's Phil Collins that does that.
That is Phil Collins.
Cut this.
No, it's staying in. It's staying in.
Leave it in.
No.
Wait, you have to play.
Sting, I'm sorry.
You have to play Sting's album over Tarzan.
Whoa.
And when as Phil hits, you be my heart, you just hear fucking something else.
That soundtrack absolutely slaps. I want to fucking listen to it.
I'm so bad at music. I can't believe I mixed up Sting and Phil Collins.
Son of man. All right, cool. So ordered.
Punish me.
You guys want to do a quick little Dice Christ confession to send us
home? Yes, my child. Love that.
Let's do it.
All right.
We've all been a bit naughty. We've stood in the bullpit this episode, so I think we all need to be blessed and bathed in Dice Christ light.
Well, some of us sided with the fiends.
Yeah.
No, we all stand together, Justice Axford.
I think that devils are naughty and fiends are nasty. So you guys were naughty and I was
I like
nasty.
That.
Yeah.
That titillates me.
Yeah. Naughty, you know the rules and you're going against them.
Yeah.
So naughty. And nasty is just like, you don't even know the rules.
Yeah.
You're just taking
nasty. Or do you even care? If you saw the rules, you would. Yeah.
I like that. I think I'm a fan.
I agree. Yeah.
You don't care that there's a difference between Phil Collins and Sting.
Yeah.
He's just a little fiend.
All right, let's see what this little fiend, Sean J., wrote.
Take us to church.
To my dear, lovely Supreme Court justices and the radical, tubular, and all-around solid Bailiff Jake.
Wow,
okay,
your sins have already been cleansed.
Finally.
End of episode.
Finally. The respect that you deserve, Jake.
I really felt like a turn was coming. I'm so glad it didn't.
Welcome home, Jake.
It's going to happen at the very end. We're going to rant about Jake.
I have a confession for Dice Christ. I am a DM, and while running my game early on, my players fought and almost lost to a young green dragon. However, in a rejection of Dice Christ's will, I fudged a roll that would have resulted in a TPK. Now, I believe I am paying for that sin because I have recently rolled four consecutive nat 20s against the same party while they were battling an avatar of Tiamat, once again nearly resulting in a TPK. Thus, I ask, what should I do? I await your benign and righteous judgment.
Wow. Okay,
here's what I would say. If you feel like you're rolling too hot with your players as a DM, roll in front of the board. Just roll in front of the board because it hurts less when your DM crits on you in front of the board.
Yeah. It's true. When it really starts to come down to it, it keeps you honest and it makes it so, because I don't know, you always feel a little cheesy when you're sitting there being like, oh, one more hit and this person goes down. They've got to get a 15 or higher and you roll it behind the DM screen and you get it. You always feel like people are going to think you're cheating or something. So I would recommend doing it in front of the table. It's kind of fun.
You did go against Dice Christ, but Dice Christ has punished you already with these nat 20s against your players.
Yeah, this is so interesting. There is part of me that's like,
they're kind of living Dice the punishment.
Does Dice Christ see a story?
He's hungry. He's hungry for blood for sure.
Yeah. Dice Christ demands a sacrifice.
Dice Christ loves narrative blood, I would say. Yeah. He loves the lifeblood of a story.
But I think don't force it. I think that maybe just if things start getting dodgy and you're like, fuck, man, like I'm rolling too hot, just start rolling in front of the board. And if Dice Christ has their way, you know.
That also atones for the sin, I think, because you fudged a roll behind the screen and Dice Christ is trying to come out. You know, yes, Dice Christ wants to be heard. So cleanse it by rolling in front of the table. Let the light shine on
this little dice of mine.
I'm going to let it shine. This little dice of mine. I'm going to let it shine.
But you don't have to do it for every roll. Just for like a big roll.
Yeah.
You
might want to. Important roll.
Something that you might feel like you want to fudge, you can put it out there and let the rays of Dice Christ shine down on it.
Let the rays emitting from your players' eyes, which everyone knows that players have rays emitting from their eyes,
normally
cleanse the dice.
Yeah.
I do want to just give a quick Dice Christ praise to this DM, because I believe like a young green dragon and an avatar of Tiamat, that's like, y'all been putting in some sessions.
Congrats. Fun and that's good.
I will say, I think that if I ever had to deal with a TPK, I understand why this DM was like, you know, for story reasons, a TPK kind of sucks because then you're just, you're starting.
They also said
from,
it happened early on.
Yeah, you're starting from
like, early on. I don't know that your instinct was wrong.
Right. I don't know that your instinct was wrong.
You made a bargain with Dice Christ.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Here's what I will say though. Is how I would handle it because I've thought about this before for the show and I think other people could use this. I think if you're ever in a situation where there would be a TPK, go forward with it and knock everybody out and then let them roll, and whoever survives the death saves naturally like wakes up in the debris of the room or something, like they're the sole survivor.
Whoa.
Or a couple people survive or something like that. You know what I mean?
There's also always the fun thing that when there's going to be a TPK, being like, all right, I have this one person that I know it would be narratively satisfying for them to make a sacrifice right now. You could reach out to one player, like if someone has a god or something from their backstory means like there is going to be a chance for one person to sacrifice themselves. Also, there's always a chance like people can even sacrifice themselves not with like a god intervention. They could just be like, cool, I'm gonna run in the other way. Drag them away from the party. So you could be like, okay, this is bad. You know, like you guys could try to run away.
Yeah. Instead of like death saves, they do kind of like, you know, hero saves or something like that to see if they can like, you know, sacrifice themselves nobly for the party. I don't know. I think you got a lot of options to work with here. You need not worry about the burden of Dice Christ upon you.
Though Dice Christ is coming to collect, it seems.
Absolutely.
He must deliver some blood. Yeah.
Right.
Deliver some PC blood by rolling in front of the table. And with that, church and court are adjourned. Although we will be doing more cases over on our Patreon, patreon.com/nadpod. That's NADDPOD. Don't sing yet. Don't do it. Absolutely don't do it. Don't do it. Does anyone have anything they'd like to plug?
Yeah, I have two things I want to plug, actually. One, our live shows. We've got live shows in Portland, Los Angeles, and Vancouver.
That's at the end right.
Of the Vancouver has been announced.
That is announced. Ooh,
Portland is June 16th. Los Angeles is June 17th. And Vancouver is October 21st.
June 17th. We're coming home.
Tickets for all of those shows are over at nadpod.com/live. Portland is almost sold out. So definitely get those pretty fast.
And LA will have some exciting guests likely.
Yeah.
Hey. Ooh, yeah.
Ooh, okay. Surprise.
That's
surprise.
Where we live.
And then the other thing is my wife Jillian's movie that she produced last summer is coming out this week. So if you have a Hulu account, check out Fire Island. It's going to be good.
Amazing.
Oh, shit. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Great.
Oh, yeah. Congrats. Way to go, Jill. Yeah.
Big weekend for her and Tucker. They're going to the premiere together. It's going to be great.
Wow. Yeah. I saw that kiss of them at Cannes.
Yeah, they were on a yacht. It was awesome.
Yeah, the kiss cam at Cannes.
Yeah.
The Cannes kiss cam.
Cannes kiss cam. Famous.
I have a stand-up paddleboard, but it doesn't really compete with Tucker's yacht.
Oh, yeah, you're in the background wiping out.
Also, Tucker stole the paddle. So it's just a board.
I have to use my hands.
Yeah, I'll plug Jujutsu Kaisen. It's a cool-ass anime. I didn't have anything to do with it. I think Jill and Tucker worked on it, though, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I'll just plug Jill and Tucker's love.
Yeah, we're back to being mean to Jake.
There we go. Full
that
circle.
Is how it came around. Good. I wasn't going to force it, but it came back around.
Back to your cave, Jake. Back to your lowly cave.
Very natural, yeah. Get out of here.
Go kiss a worm.
Go kiss a worm, you freaking bird.
Kiss worms.
I fucking missed this.
You can follow us on social media that we may or may not use. @CHMurph is me, @Caldy's Caldwell, @AstrodsEmily, @JakeHurwitz is Jake, and you can tweet about
and @NadPod is our Instagram account.
That's true.
Yeah. @NadPod is also our Twitter account, so you check those out. And you can tweet about the show using #NadPod. That's NADDPOD.
We are youth of the nation. We are youth of the nation.
Dungeon. It is time to thank our benevolent Council of Elders, starting with Brad D., Jeffrey S., Hugh C., Later McSkater, Matt M., Jordan DJ, Cutter W., Jill and Tucker, who want to help Jake move out. Thank you for that. Dungeon Mama, Danielle, The Dastardly Dame, Beardman Dan, Scott D., Danny P., Michael McD., Vincent W., Miss Tur Cole, Victor T., Balnor's Boy Forever, Dominic Person, Andrew B., Justin I., Ragnar Ferdwind, TJ M., Trele the Cray Fay, Jared E., Christopher B., Damiel R., Cyborg Version of Josh the Kobold, Brian Woodland, Vice President of Business Development of Shure Incorporated, very nice, Richard X. Machina, Michael L., Taylor S., Callum L., Jack L., Sam L., Nicholas C., Thaddeus Thunderous Turtle, Samuel B., Mike H., Martin P., Matthew E., Colton B., Way Cooler Than Angry Wheat, Adam G., Tyler F., Knee Badger, Panama James, Andrew the Bard, Captain Sigil, Diana, CC Lulu, Michelle O., Hercule Poirot, The Rabbit Folk Detective, Timmy R., Crocaholic, Lucas B., Rako, It's Kevin, Calder's Cold, Come, #, love to all my supporters, New York, Cass, Skateboard Cass, Stephen C., Michael M., Mike K., Lady Taco, Joy T., Nara, Wit and Whimsy, Jake L., Nick W., Brave the Badger, Esme M., Mutton the Mad, Druid, a has-been trying to undo his friend who has been stuck as a polymorphed sheep for 3 weeks, Foster the Original Boneless Duck, Veronica P., Aaron the Asshole Ranger, Reza, Big Bad Beardo the Mad, Eric McD, Giant Monsters on the Horizon, Percival Fredrickson, Von Muscle, Klawowski, DiRollo III,
Christian A, Olivia K, Jay Dragonborn, Joe Rowe, The Inapropos, Cody B, Liam D, The Sandrayan, Ben A, Feldonis, John the Third, Dave H, Vivian, Koala, Catherine S, David K, Christian S, Rebecca G, Dustin S, Connor F, Hawkeye P, Bookvar's assistant Izzy F, The Time Walker, Blair the Bug Blair, Barblarian, Cat C, Kelsey J, Pork Chop, Ariel the Occasional Mermaid. Oh, only occasionally. Very nice. Selena N, a.k.a. Valacy Raptor, Minette the Magnificent Magic Carp, Pat L, Achutha A, Lauren H, Joshua D, Ryan S, The Bone Duster, The Charming Fluff, Robert Crisp, Master B, Telekitty Creations, Fan Illustrator, Insert Request, okay, Ploops, Carly A, Addy K, AP Cleric, Lori P, Those Who Love and Give Where They Can, Spam Gaming, who's just some guy, I guess, Grant L, Connor Savage, Christopher J, Pebblepot, did you guys hear about the magic skillet? It is made of cast iron. Nice. Logan S, Salil, Leviathan, Bioquart 7, Remington, CD, Amber Dextrist, Sullivan H, Trub Hop Dropper, Sydney T, Jack H, King of the Mole City, Under Iron Deep, Afrex, hashtag no censorship, hashtag pro CCC, Garble the Moist, Juicy Kiwi singing Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds in D minor, Champ W, Valen, Sprite Pepsi, Carlin C, Louis is your centaur dad, Salty Burrito, Emily S, Harry Cox, very nice, Chloe L, Allie, congrats on finishing your master's degree, love you, oh yes we do, Estelle Isle with Theager, Conflicted DM, Justin LB, Torley Skirmisher, Dandy E&D, Bunny, hashtag Claudius did nothing wrong, hashtag Frog Pal sucks, Marcos P, Pup Kalish, Lorelei F, Morgan M, A Peeling Sticker, Stephen E, Mr. Adams, Meg the Mail Carrier of Bohemia, James F, Jimmy A, Hi Man, yeah that's me, Cap'n Cappy, M4L, The Dragon Ambassador, Wayfarer, Inventor of the SS Storm Bjorn, Andrew B, Dalton B, Cope Fresh, Barpo Goodbarrel, Barbarian, and Brewer Emeritus of Waterdeep, Tari Rhymes with Jabari, Welshlander, Garrett G, One Big Curd, Eric M, Mr. D, Sean J, John P, Mr. Silly Head, Monster, Captain Renee S, Cameron C, Hope's Dagger, the only dagger of hope, Olivia the Enchanting Bard, who will totally be making money off the Duck Team Tales with an on-the-go, all the stops, show, Blue Slade, Michaela R, Albin's Alabaster, Aftermath, hashtag Come Muppets Will Rise, Solemn's Sticky Sauce, hashtag CCC, Double Down, Calliope's Cumulo, Cum Blast, hashtag CCC forever, Riley S, Sir Sig 93, FICO, Melvin the Moontan, No One is Cooler Than Angry Wheat, Especially Not the Front Half of a Horse Costume, Arusha, an Anachronistic Enigma, of course, The Game Itself, Emily, Chaus Kampf, aka I Am a Smapfire, Shacked, Aaron R, Tony G, Logan D, Calder's Cold Come Is For Me, of course, Josh H, and Jack the Jax, Jinxing Rouge in search of Bohemia's biggest balls. All right. Yeah. Thank you, everybody.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.